please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
All right, so I'm going to do staff introductions, and I think we'll start online. So you're going to introduce yourself.
This is Jerry Vincent, I'm corporate officer.
Araceli Mayoral, Senior Director of Finance with LLAC.
Gita Sharifi, Chief Financial Officer with LLAC.
Chloe Wall, Senior VP of Finance, LLAC.
All right, and it's also the Chief of Georgia.
Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Hi, Michelle Lopez, Council, LAC. The state has it, or is it for a
Darla Palkerman, paralegal, Bill Thompson, law officers.
All right. Welcome, everyone. And so now we'll do staff introductions. It's basically principal. This is principal. Mm-hmm. All right. So, and is there anybody else? We're going to approve the agenda for the March 3rd, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. Did everyone have a chance to read the agenda?
But again, I'll make sure.
Right, my wife
brought
it down.
All right, so if you move to second, and we'll vote. Carol Sanford, aye. Mother Fent,
aye.
Michael Lurie,
aye.
John Twitch,
aye.
And Barbara Steen. All right, so that is passed. So now we're on F. Approved minutes of the November 18, 2019. Anyone from the public on the line or in the room would like to introduce yourself? Hearing none, we'll proceed to four, school reports and information. Principal update is Dr. Seacrest.
Okay, board. We have early enrollment. We have currently 325 students spanning grades 7 through 12. Age range is 12 to 24. So let me cover everyone. Our gender, students by gender, is about 50-50, which is kind of unique in this situation. But about 18% of our student population occupied special education, which are higher than the state average. We have 4 students in foster youth, foster care. 73% of our students are classified as Hispanic. 9% of them are classified as English learners. And we have 4% of our students that are the to date, we have graduated 13 students. So the year that graduates from our program, there are about 20 more if we can motivate them to graduate before the end of June. We held a graduation ceremony in December where we had 10 graduates walk, and our plan is to hold it every time we have 5 more students. We had 5 friends then, and they chose not to walk, so now we're planning another ceremony. We actually have a ceremony planned for this week, and they chose not to really do that. We want to keep our ceremony frequent and small because a lot of our students are suffering from anxiety. And we also have found that if the ceremony is close, they're more likely to just get their credits then. Because things are letting it spread out. So we will notify you as soon as we have a date. We're looking at mid-May for our next ceremony. Our principal in the month of February resigned. So we are on a hunt for a new principal. It looks like we will probably replace our principal in July or August. This gives me time to rebuild the culture of the team and kind of reset everybody and kind of get us back on track. So our partnership with Soledad Enrichment Action continues to grow. We opened in South Beach with a partnership, and we opened like late October, early November. That site, as of last week, had over 60 students, and they have over 20 scheduled to enroll over the coming weeks. That's a unique partnership because we work with a local school who send us specific students with specific courses to complete and a timeline to complete so they can return to their school and either be back in their class or, in this case, graduate with their school in the spring. And so those school counselors and principal teams are coming in to check up on their students at their location in the computer lab. And so it's very much a collaborative effort to get the students to graduate. We are also anticipating a large enrollment in July. As the traditional schools are off track, we have a lot of folks reaching out to us currently to see if we're an option for their students. We have enrolled students in July, and we currently are anticipating right around 4,000 to 5,000 students coming our way based on initial numbers from schools and school districts. And because we are NCAA approved, there's a lot of sports programs looking to utilize our virtual program to help their athletes either get ahead or remain eligible or
excuse me, Christine. I'm sorry. This is Jerry Vincent, and I'm calling in remotely. What was the number that you had said initially that you anticipated increase in enrollment? Did you?
4,000 to 5,000 students.
Wow. Thank you.
That's very large. And we go from a small school to a large school, and then they leave us and we become small school again. That's growth. That's exciting. So that is my update. Does the board have any questions?
I think that's amazing. You provide some school schools that are
we, however, do not call it summer school. It's called July enrollment or July classes. do not offer a summer school program because they're a year-round school. So my school year opens on July
1st. And how do you prepare for students to hire the teachers?
Mm-hmm. We're currently hiring.
All right, so the next is school accountability. Does anybody want to answer the question?
School accountability. Yeah. A school accountability is what's called a charge in that stuff.
How would you overview of the SPARC. Since 1988, California Education Code has required that schools report to the board and maybe the results to the school accountability report card. The main purpose is to provide the parents and the community important information about the school's performance. The card contains a variety of information such as demographic data, academic data, curriculum information, teacher and staff information, principal and expenditure data. The card is developed each year and uploaded to the California Department of Education website and shared with our authorizers and shared with the public and being available on the school's website. This year is a report of some of the LCAP test results. Our 12th graders have been helped last year and the results will be released. Also, this year we're reporting 1 year graduation rate and the dropout rate instead of the 4 year cohort rate. The one-year rate is more accurate for the dashboard alternative status schools, which class five schools. So, we were new last year, the first year, so we're in our second year. So, our SPARC report may not be as complete as some of the other schools that I do see because we do not have as much data. Some interesting facts about our report is we have grown. So last year we had 106 students. This year we have currently enrolled 325, so a large growth. And we have 17 fully credentialed staff. We have nobody working outside their credential area. My favorite part of this whole thing is the California Assessment of Student Performance and Progress, the CAS results. So in English language arts, for grades 3 through 8 and 11, we had 49% of our students meeting or exceeding state standards, and the state result is 50%. I'm all for it. Now, math, okay. We got the English down. We're working on that. And along with that, our socioeconomic disadvantaged students in English language arts. 50% of them met or exceeded the California state standards. So we met exactly what the state did as an average with our socioeconomic disadvantaged. So we, like, I feel that our school is really serving these kids in a way that, on average, this is great. Math we're working on. According to this, we had only 86% of our students tested. We're pushing back on these numbers because we believe we hit the 95%, and we are trying to figure out exactly how they calculated that 86%, because according to our calculations, we made it. So there's a discrepancy. 63% of our students are enrolled in courses required to be using CSU admission. Our PE test results, we're famous for the Yale. Our kids don't test well in PE, especially virtual kids. They check for their computers. Yeah, we run around and test these kids, so for Mission Academy this year, we just finished the PE testing, and we ran the numbers last night, and we believe we have 97% of our students tested. And it was like an all combined effort of every staff member being trained on how to administer the test, making appointments, going knocking on doors, people calling. And I have a student assigned to me. I called the mom, said they're pulling up outside the house. Can you meet us in the park area? And mom sent them out. I called the mom with a silver picture that I want inside. It was like coordinated effort to get kids tested. We have no reported drop out our graduation rate for a master's who are at brand new schools. We have one who's 13, and he's there senior year, which is very low. That's pretty much the highlights of our
presenting the second interim report and the revised budget for the 1920 school year, and that is included in your board package on pages 124 to 131. The purpose of this report is to provide an overview of the financial condition of the school as of January 2020. The report includes details of revenue, expenditures, and fund balance on the first 7 pages of the report, and information about ADA in the last page of the report. The report includes the following categories. Last board approved budget, a proposed revised operating budget, actual through January, projected totals, which in this case is the same as the proposed revised operating budget. Mission Academy is projecting a P2 ADA of 490. The projected ADA is lower than the projected ADA we used in our first interim report of 500, but it's higher than original budget ADA of 266. This is a result of higher than expected student enrollment. This projected P2 ADA will generate a new total budgeted revenue of $5.8 million, total expenses of $5.4 million, and a budgeted excess revenue of $354,000. In terms of revenue, the school is proposing a budget with higher numbers than those presented at the first interim report due to an increase on ADA projections by $2.6 million more in revenue as compared to the original budget. The original budget revenues were $3.2 million. The revised budgeted revenues are now $5.8 million. When compared to prior board approved budgets, the changes in projected revenues are as follows. LCFS sources revenues are increasing by $2.4 million. Federal revenues are decreasing by $5,000 as compared to the original budget. And other state revenues are increasing by $170,000. We're also projecting an overall increase of $2.4 million on expenditures as compared to the prior board approved budget. This is to support the additional resources being provided to meet the needs of the students enrolled in our school. Total original budgeted expenditures were $3 million, and revised budgeted expenditures are now $5.4 million. In summary, the increase in expenditures are coming from the following categories. Salary and benefits are increasing by $1.8 million. Books and supplies are increasing by $4,000. And services and other operating expenses are also increasing by $589,000. In general, we see the school is fiscally consistent operating through the year. In the first 7 months of the fiscal year, the school generated $3.4 million in revenue, $2.8 million in costs, and an excess revenue of $587,000. With the new projected revised excess revenue of $354,000, Mission Academy will end up this year with a reserve of $370,000, which is about 6.8% of the total budget expenditures for the fiscal year. We
We also would like to inform the board that currently Mission Academy has an outstanding $1.75 million short-term loan with LLAC, which is necessary to cover cash flow for school's operations. This concludes the reporting on the second interim revised budget. Are there any questions from the board?
So, do you need a motion?
Hi, this is Geeta Sharifi, the Chief Financial Officer with LLAC. So looking at the manual, if you refer to page 163 or page 31 of the actual manual, if you have a hard copy, there is a section that was revised. I'll read the sentence. It says the charter school board designates fund balance designation based on projected financials. So the purpose of adding this sentence was when we discussed with the area superintendents, some schools, including Mission Academy, at this point, they have a 6.8% reserve fund balance. So based on FICMAT, the reserve balance should be maintained between 3 to 20%. That's a healthy reserve. If at any point of time that reserve exceeds that 20% or based on the board decision, it's an excess funding, then the board and the school officials will make the determination of how to spend that money on school, on student instructional material, any services to the benefit of the students. So we just wanted to put that in there to make sure that it's understandable that the board and the school officials can authorize and designate any excess funding if the reserve gets to a higher limit. And that concludes my section. Thank you.
Companies and auditing firm from the state list of approved auditors, and they will prepare the school's audit report for fiscal year 2019-20. There is a copy of the engagement letter in your package for your review. It's on page 276 of the PDF file. After the audit is completed, the auditor will send a copy of the report to the California Department of Education, the county, and also the charter school by December 15th, and we will present that report to the board for your review and approval. Any questions from the board?
So, Board Member George, the board will be asked to approve using Lewis, Kahn, Evans, and Bradford accounting for rates and preparations of filing a 2018 Form 990 federal return of organization exemptions on that.
Yeah, this is Claudio again. Berkey Cox, Evans and Bradford is a CPA firm that provides accounting, audit, and income tax return services. And they will be preparing the corporation's 2018 state and federal tax returns. For your review, there is a copy of the engagement letter from the CPA firm, and you are going to find that letter on page 281 of your package. So we would like to get approval from the board to use the CPA firm.
Teachers are
Ryan, we need a motion to adjourn the meeting.